You're listening to DraftKings Network.
And before we get to the show, we just want to tell you that support for today's Cooligans is brought to you by Manscaped.
That's
which,
right.
If you don't know, that's the below. It's the best below the waist grooming, dude.
Correct. Yes, I'm very much aware. I've been a Manscaped customer for probably about like a year now.
Which is good, because I think people who've met you and seen how young your face looks assume you don't grow hair down there.
Yeah, I'm like, this is, I'm here to, you know, to like tell, this is a really a message to the doubters, okay? This isn't a Manscaped ad. This is letting you know I grow hair down there, okay? If anybody was interested, and also stop sending me those messages for those requests, okay?
Right? We're not starting a weird OnlyFans, okay? I certainly do. I'm a very hairy person. And let me tell you something. I'm really happy about this because I have hurt myself pretty bad in the past trying to get rid of the hair down there, which I wouldn't even do if it wasn't for my wife saying, yo, could you do something about this?
Yeah, that's how your wife talks. She's like, yo, look, fam, I'm going to need you to kind of like trim the hedges a little bit, all right? Because it's become a problem.
Right, when you go to the bathroom, it looks like you be shaving a teddy bear. So I need you to do something about that. Long hair don't care. You should care, my G. But I have. I've used, like, I kept an old beard trimmer, you know? Mm. And that's what I was using. But it nicked me. It nicked me real bad. I screamed. And I didn't know what to put on it, so I put rubbing alcohol on it. That was a horrific mistake.
Wow. This feels like a kink more than anything. Yeah. I'm like, what? Everything you're doing seems to be the wrong decision. Okay.
I've never pleasured myself better. No, it was horrific. But that's what I use. When I used to shave my face, I used to use rubbing alcohol. Or when I really buzz the beard, the hair on my neck or whatever, I'll use rubbing alcohol because it really closes up your pores. So I was like, well, I'll just use this. This is my aftershave. Let's just say it was a calamity. There was a lot of screaming. The neighbors called the cops. Yeah. It was a lot going on. But that doesn't happen anymore because now I got this Manscaped, which has this really cool sort of guard here that stops, you know, your skin from falling in. And it's got a light.
That's
so now
right.
You can see what's going on down there.
That's right. This is the lawnmower 3.0, and it's
the 3.0, baby.
Okay, it is really great, and it's usually we're not on this show we don't just talk about testicles and balls and whatever else you want to call them.
You know we do.
but it's not the focus.
That's a good point.
This is we're dedicating time to make sure that our listeners, dudes who want to take care of themselves down there.
You want to shave your hoo-ha, or you want to buzz it down,
okay,
you know?
Yeah. But I never knew Alexis could reach that pitch. That was quite
only
high.
When I'm talking about that. But hey, it's COVID. Maybe you don't want to go to the salon or where do the ladies,
Yeah. Look, this is why we need Manscaped, because most men have no idea what goes on down there.
They don't know
how other people do it. They don't know what we're supposed to do. But pick up, go to manscaped.com and pick up the lawnmower, right? So if you use the promo code GULLY21, you will receive 20% off and free shipping. And I highly recommend it. With the lawnmower in itself, you can use it in the shower. It has
it's waterproof.
It's waterproof. You can use it. It has a great LED light for precision, because even if you are in a well-lit room, there's certain areas that you can't really see, okay?
Right. Unless you got weird lights on the floor of your bathroom, and then you a freak, and you need this joint, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You need to be clean down there.
You're quite prepared. It's a great product. Manscaped also has a bunch of different, you can get like a care package that has like...
You get underwear, t-shirts, you can get ball deodorant.
Okay,
did you know that ladies buy this for your manses? Did you know that your balls shouldn't smell? I didn't know that.
Don't put it under in your armpits. Okay. No. It goes in a different spot. Okay.
I actually thought the smell was the appeal. Turns out it is not.
No. The whole pheromone thing has been debunked. Okay, so ignore it. But go to manscaped.com and make sure to use the promo code GULLY21 for 20% off and free shipping. It's a great, great product. And thank you, Manscaped, for supporting today's show.
Yeah, and also, hey, use it on your ass. Come on.
Okay, that's how we end it. Tonight on The Cooligans, we help you get your 2021 started off right, okay? We're also talking about the Pennsylvania Derby between Pulisic and Zach Steffen, and we have to discuss what MLS is doing and the MLS Players Association, how they're going to respond.
That's right. Plus, we talked to David Goss, co-host of Extra Time over on MLS. We talked to all three or four seasons that happened in 2020 with MLS. Plus, we talk about what to expect for 2021. It's going to be incredible. That and more today on The Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with The Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
What?
2021!
Look at this. Yeah, hopefully.
Yo, we killed 2020, son. We killed it. It's dead. It's done.
Look, I think that was the peak of 2021. It can only go down from here.
Please don't say that, because last year we're like, 2020 is going to be a great year. And then very slowly and then very quickly, it collapsed.
Yeah, yeah. It felt just because of the 2020, it just felt like, it's the same numbers. There might be something real fun about this year, real interesting, but not in the way we expected.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's funny that it's 2020 and we couldn't see what was coming, huh? I don't know if anyone said that yet.
All right. First joke of 2021. We did it.
All right. Shut it down. Show's over.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television.
Yup. And it also happens to be The Gulliest. And if you don't know what that is, look it up, because that's what we are.
Okay, yeah, so we're trying to, be optimistic about the upcoming year.
My hair is
ahead of the game. You know what I mean?
This, yeah. Your hair's still in 2020 mode. It's like,
okay, yeah, it's not braids. It got some bounce. All right, we're trying to, be lively this year. How about energy? How was your holiday break, Alexis? We've been off, obviously, from Fubo TV for a couple weeks.
It was great. Just hung out at home, didn't see family. We FaceTimed, we did the Zoom with the families. It was great. Stayed at home, ordered and ate way too much food. It was amazing. Okay. Clothes are fitting a little tighter these days. Got to get back on my grind. But other than that, it was great. Just sat around, had a couple drinks. I got myself some Luxardo cherry, so I started making a lot more Manhattans again.
What's a Luxardo cherry?
It's just like the highest quality drinking cherry, like the cherry you add to a drink. It's like a syrup it sits in. It's amazing. It's just, if you're into Manhattans or old fashions, that you got to have that. And it was great. It was, well worth it. My wife's like, I think you've got a problem. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I got a straw in the cherries. That's probably not a good thing.
Okay. Well, at least now we know what are you going to do with your first big check? It's get Luxardo cherries. All right.
I'll just get the big canister of them. Yo, we lit.
Well, cool. Yeah. I had, a very similar time. I think I spent more time, instead of eating, I spent a lot of my time playing FIFA Weekend League in Ultimate Team.
I've seen the videos of you unpacking Weston McKennie. Very fun.
I'm trying to be a straight up FIFA influencer. A FIFluencer.
A FIFluencer, dude.
Okay, so I think I just invented a new category, a new career.
What exactly does a FIFluencer get as gifts, Is it just coins? Straight up coins?
It's just coins. Your fake money is a huge fan of that.
Right? You've got other video game characters sending you nudes on your DMs.
Okay, Kirby, I like what you're working with, Kirby.
Yo, Luigi. Damn, son.
But yes, so look, the breaks are all right, and we hope the best for everyone tuning in, man. Just I hope you had a good holiday, a safe holiday. You hope you did not contract this whack-ass disease.
All right.
That's out here, okay?
And if you made it to 2021, bro, we could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Just keep your mask on.
Exactly. You know, that's what I think. I think we haven't bullied COVID-19 enough. That's really what's been missing.
We should, yo. We should roast. We should roast like it wore a funky shirt, you know?
you can't come be coming to be with your dumbass, like, you know, your prickly ass virus.
Yo, what cologne you wearing, dog? Everyone coughing. Get out of here.
Yeah, bro. That's how we help out and contribute to try to end this damn disease. Okay?
Everybody gets it.
Okay.
We are still doing this whole Living Room FC thing. I can't hold and hug Christian. It's really killing me, all right?
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, I can't hold my bladder or something.
You, baby. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the MLS seems to have decided to, invoke its force majeure. Clause, which if you don't know what a force majeure is, it's two slices of bread with ham and cheese and that's a croque madame. I'm sorry. A force majeure in collective bargaining agreement, which if you remember right before the MLS's back tournament, they tried to slide that in. They tried to slip that in. They're like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to do it. Everything's the same. We're just going to add this little force majeure. We're not planning on using it. We're just going to add it.
Of course. What are we, monsters? We would never do such a thing.
That's like if your friend and you are going to a party and he has a gun. And you're like, what do you have a gun? He's like, I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to bring it. Like,
why? Well, are you against me invoking my right for the Second Amendment? What are you saying? Are you un-American?
I'm just saying maybe I don't need to go to this party. You know what I mean?
Look, it's like, Rob, I'm just saying we're going to a baby shower. I don't understand why you will actually
Why
need
are you
this.
Angry at this baby? That's not the gift you brought for the baby, is it?
No, but this is really frustrating, and especially from the players' perspective, right? The Players Association has made it clear, and then in their statement, they are really just mentioning. I'll read the last line here real quick. It says, "After a 2020 season of extreme sacrifice, immeasurable risk to personal health, and a remarkable league-wide effort to successfully return to play, this tone-deaf action by the league discredits the previous sacrifices made by players and the enormous challenges they overcame in 2020, end quote. So, yeah, not mincing words there at all. They are just not happy with the fact that, because the negotiations before the MLS's back tournament were not the most fun, you know, we have players talk about it, even
they
on this
show. They left with a really bad taste in their mouth. Yes. They didn't feel like the negotiations were held sort of in a respectful tone, if you will.
Yeah, or in good faith. There was a lot of pressure put on the players, and they made a lot of concessions that they probably wouldn't have made, given, you know, if it was not a pandemic. And also,
this is early on in the pandemic where it was very scary. So it still is. But it was like no one knew anything about the disease. And they're like, no, it'll be fine. We'll go to Orlando. And you're like, I don't know that COVID can't get to Orlando.
If we only knew then what we knew now type of thing.
Here's the other thing. The league doesn't miss when it comes to stuff like this. So I'm wondering if they have something up their sleeve, because it seems so contentious that it feels to me like the players are going to walk in and try to bully the situation. But the league kind of has to have something up its sleeve to protect its assets, right? Like, to make sure that they don't give up too much leverage.
Yeah, I mean, look, they said that they lost a lot of money. I think it was like $1 billion or something along those lines. So you understand that there is a tremendous loss here. But given the, like, I guess my main point is, like, what changed from the summer till now that would make them have to go and renegotiate? Like, who wants to go through this process again? That is the thing that seems absolutely insane, because
I think
it didn't go well the
first
time.
The lawyers trying to get paid, bro.
the lawyers are like, look, you're going to let him do that to you?
I know,
okay?
Damn, you heard what they said, bro? They said some French shit about you, yo.
Yo, I can't even understand it. All I know is I'm upset.
I know. We suing. We force masuing.
Let's go talk about England and Chelsea. Chelsea played against Manchester City. Chelsea are having a bit of a problem at the moment. They basically were like, you know what? I like what Arsenal's doing with all those losses.
Arsenal got this off their shoulder, and they were like, yo, hold this real quick. You know?
But no, this game was exciting, especially for American soccer/football fans, because American goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team was between the sticks. Zach Steffen.
I think that's his first Premier League match, isn't it?
It's his first ever Premier League match. He got a Champions League start before a Premier League start.
That's right. And he won. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, new number one was good.
Ederson, you have COVID forever. Sorry. Yeah.
Looks like we could do better, Sin. Okay. Get your ass to the back.
No, Zach Steffen, obviously Manchester City wins this game, you know, not necessarily because of Zach Steffen, because the Manchester City were absolutely outclassed Chelsea this time around.
But just goes to show, like, you know, Pep Guardiola decides to start Zach in, you know, when you play the smaller clubs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, let him get an easy one, you know?
But no, this was interesting, right? Because we saw Zach Steffen play when we went to Germany, 12 years ago at this point, I don't remember. But when we went to Germany, we saw him play for Fortuna Dusseldorf, and they were just not a good team. Therefore, you sort of assume that maybe Zach Steffen isn't as good because he's on this bad team. But then
you assume that's his level.
Yeah, but you put him on a good team, and then he's chilling. He's doing great. Yeah. He made a couple
saves.
So
come on, Real Madrid.
But Christian Pulisic also the highest rated player in that game. Chelsea were really abysmal, especially defensively. But this game was interesting in particular because Zach Steffen and Christian Pulisic are both from Pennsylvania. Zach Steffen from Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and Pulisic from Hershey, Pennsylvania. So people were calling this the Pennsylvania Derby. And it was difficult for people to, even if they're not a fan of either team, to where do they show their loyalty?
Wait a minute. People from Pennsylvania were arguing about sports teams? What a shock.
Yep. Even people, I mean, in Gully Squad, there in the Slack that was working at some point, there was a big debate. There's
one guy with French fries in his sandwich, another guy with a cheesesteak, and they were going at it. It was pandemonium.
Okay, well, you're trying to sneak in batteries in that sandwich? You better stop it.
Yeah. Why are you booing Santa? It's not even Christmas.
It's just, you know, just anti-Christmas all year. But this was, look, there's a deeper conversation about what's going to happen to Chelsea, what's going to happen to Frank Lampard, because how much money he spent about $300 million
to be worse
signings
than before he spent that money.
And they are, you know, like, is it Abramovich, right? That doesn't look like he has that long a leash when it comes to Chelsea.
No, he fires people for less. So goodbye, legend Frank Lampard. Speaking of legends, right after this, we've got David Goss, co-host of Extra Time on MLS. You got to stick around. It's a great conversation. We talk about everything that's happened in MLS last year. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, there's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for, like, texts from other girls. She's like,
booty pic, booty pic, booty pic, sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
But no, Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly. But, you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like, you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining. And it definitely helps the show grow so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
Hi, baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and finally our guest is here, okay? And Christian, when I think of who do we want to talk to that actually paid attention to the year 2020 in soccer, at least a little closer than we did, you know what I mean?
Yes.
This is one of the names that comes up to mind for sure.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled because not only is he, a beacon of light when yes. it comes to Aww. Look. Yeah, when it comes to, you know, when I need to understand and know, because look, we've been covering Major League Soccer for pretty much like about 5-6 years, and we know nothing. We have not learned one thing.
The problem is we ain't been paying attention. You know what I mean? For us, it's real surface level shit.
I don't know why they allow us to vote in the MVP voting. It really makes no sense. It's wildly irresponsible.
No, I voted for Landon Donovan. You know, I messed up. But this guy knows what's going on. And one of my favorite things is when this guy and Matt Doyle get in a conversation about which player that's going to be out of the league in 2 years is the best player in the league right now. Because real fringe stuff, you know? This guy's already getting his Series 63. He's checked out. But you guys are interested in the 2 assists he had 15 games ago. And that person is none other than one of our favorite people and returning to the show, but finally on our TV show. Unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, David Goss, everybody!
David. A beacon of light. Not one I've ever heard before. Never even close to that description.
That's because you're friends with Weeby. He's never going to say that about you.
That's true. Well, he moved to the Midwest now, so friends is a loose term. We know each other. I don't talk to people west of the Hudson that much.
That's a good point. It's a different time zone. You know?
I don't mess around. Also, I appreciate you saying I've paid attention because it's been a deluge of soccer in my face. I've been drowning. Yes. It's all year, but it's on the TV, so technically I know what's going on.
All right. Perfect. David, this has been, obviously we're back. It is the new year. 2020 was a nightmare for so many reasons.
You could have stopped that nightmare. We could have just stared off into the distance for 30 seconds.
You could have stopped that 2020. We also would have known.
It's a good point. It's a very good point.
We had Susanna Collins and Jillian Sakovitz on recently, Matthew Doyle as well, and just getting their perspective of what from the soccer reporter, what was your perspective from what covering this season was like, and then also when you first heard about the lockdown. You know, at least like for us, when we first heard about quarantine, we're like, all right, our TV show is over. We're going to have to start finding, I'm going to have to start doing IT again. Alexa is going to start doing pizza tours during a pandemic.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. If this place was still open, it'd be trash.
So what was that feeling like of like, whoa, what is soccer going to look like for you and what the future was going to be like? What did you initially feel?
It was hard. The one thing I'd say is, and one of the reasons I love soccer is because it's global. I felt like we saw this coming before the average American because you'd had stuff in China, You'd have the Champions League stuff going on with Inter Milan and Atalanta and all that. So like, I felt like it was a story in my life in February when everyone else woke up on March 11th and were like, we might close everything down tomorrow. Like, what's going on? So I felt like we had that coming. But in terms of what we were going to do and how we were going to cover it, there was that first moment of like pure chaos. And then we kind of pulled out the list of here's the 1,000 things we always say we're going to do and we never get to, because a new TAM player just got traded who will be out of the league in 2 years. Let's talk about an assist they might have. So let's get to that today. And so we pulled
the juicy
out
stuff.
We ended up on ETR. We did our Mount Rushmore of all these teams. And it was a good way to kind of like dig back in and get to know things. But for me, the best part of what I've gotten to do covering MLS is going to the stadiums, meeting people, meeting fans, meeting coaches and players and all that stuff. And so there's been a disconnect there for me and how I cover the league, because I feel like a lot of what I try and bring are the stories I get to find out and the conversations I get to have. Those haven't really existed this year. So it's been tough to try and, like, you know, pull the shade back when I'm not even behind the shade times over the course of this year. So that part's kind of sucked.
Yeah, it's so funny to me because, like, I didn't realize until this just how much MLS events were a routine part of my life for 5 years. This is the first time we haven't been to Chicago twice in a year. Right. This is the first time we haven't gone to an All-Star game or MLS Cup. This is the first time I haven't texted you to try to sneak us into parties. I mean, there's so many different things that we missed out on. And it's actually like, you know, it's funny because when you're at our level for the last few years, you're always wondering, like, all right, who do we have to meet? What interviews do we have to do? Like, it's for Christian and I, it's always been run and gun. And with the TV show, we're like, oh, maybe things will be easier. And we never got that experience. I never even got to sit back and think of all those events as just fun, because we're always thinking about work. And this is the year where it might have been a little bit more fun, and we didn't get that. So really, COVID is way more horrific when you think about it, because it took that away from us.
I would assume that it was all geared towards you guys. Yeah, I would assume. I don't know. I've never been to China. My guess is the disease was started just to mess with you.
Buddy, it starts at the top. I like where your head's at. I'm going to start putting some red string on all these cards behind me. Yeah, and it's going to end up at Freddie Adu. You know? When you look at
the original name was Cooligans 19.
When you look at the MLS's back tournament, talk a little bit about what you feel as far as whether that was a success, whether fans kind of wanted this to happen again in the future. Where does this sit? Is this the new format for the U.S. Open Cup, maybe? Like, what's going to happen with this, and what did you think of it as it was going on?
So when it first, you know, the rumors came out and started, it was trepidation because we hadn't seen anything yet. And NWSL got theirs off the ground first, but it hadn't happened yet when the MLS one was being talked about. And so you didn't know if it was possible. And now you look back, and it was the right decision because of the chaos that ensued afterwards, right? Because once we got through the summer, everyone was like, well, you could just play in home stadiums. You could have fans sometimes. You could do whatever. I don't know what happened to the Ravens because I don't watch that much football, but it sounds bad. So there was all these things that happened afterward where at the time it felt like the MLS is back tournament may have been a mistake, and it ended up being a success. I think it kept everyone safe. It got high-level soccer. It got the teams restarted. It got the concept of this is something we can do during this time period back on board. And personally, the World Cup is everything to me. I love the World Cup. Yeah. And so the 9 a.m. game, a little breakfast soccer, the 10 p.m. game, it had that vibe to it in a summertime too. And I was like, this feels comfortable. This feels right. And it was better soccer than I expected. I actually think it was better in a lot of times than the regular season because of travel and the way games kind of got thrown together. I think we actually saw more of what teams wanted to do. That's a big thing I talk about and we talk about is what are the ideas of soccer teams? How do they want to play? And I don't think we saw a lot of that over the course of the regular season just because it was game, injuries and testing and all that stuff. So I actually think MLS is back was one of the best things we saw. And I think your idea is right of how will this exist? Because that's what people walked away from it with. This was good. In some iteration, this is going to exist in soccer in the U.S. or North America over the next few years, whether it's a preseason tournament that becomes a CCL spot, like a community shield type thing, whatever it is, I think we're going to see something like this. And I've heard some ideas of people that talk about bringing Liga MX into that. And that's a way to kind of bring everyone together. Is it, you know, a Southern American city or in Mexico in the winter that you can play one site that's warm so you can get something done? I think that's all pretty realistic. And I think what we saw was it'll be fun. It'll be entertaining. all those types of things. So I hope we see something like that going forward.
Yeah, that's kind of the one thing that maybe you can expound on this a little bit, but there was a little bit of a feeling like sports was at a premium, and MLS, you know, NWSL as well happened to be there. Did you get any sense at all that more people that maybe weren't interested in soccer or in MLS actually tuned in and were kind of into it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I'm going to get killed by people for saying this. MLS is always trying to soccer in America. We're all trying to prove something all the time, right? Right. This was something they proved, that they could stand in a time like this and be a legitimate major league and put something like this on. Whether anyone wants to talk about that or not, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. I can already see my text blowing up from specific friends.
Tweets are starting, and ain't nobody even heard it yet.
Oh, my God. I'm already stressed about saying that. But I did feel that, and I did feel a lot of people reaching out to me from different cities where their local news was covering it, you know, at a higher level, and they were like, oh, the Rapids have a game tonight. Oh, RSL has a game tonight, where maybe those people weren't really normally tuned in, but there wasn't other things going on, and people wanted that city pride or something to root for or watch for. So I definitely felt like it reached out of the MLS bubble, as did the NWSL one for sure, right? That put NWSL on a map for people who don't watch soccer, just as this is the sport, this is what you're watching, and everyone loved it, and it was great, and we saw it over the course of the rest of the season. I think you saw that for MLS to an extent as well.
And we should discuss the fact that we did have, in 2020, we did get to have a regular season, somewhat of a regular season, right? Yeah. And we got the playoffs, and we got an MLS Cup champion. You have the Columbus Crew kit right behind you. They were the champions in 2020.
It's next to a Metro Stars kit, which is reminding me of Derek Etienne, who scored.
That's why I got the Red Bull 2 jersey on, baby. Yeah, right. Yeah. Gotta show love all day. The only team I root for is Red Bull 2. I don't root for Red Bulls. I root for anyone else, just Red Bull 2.
Okay. But the fact that these playoffs were pretty fascinating. I thought, you know, especially with how COVID affected certain teams and you know, teams missing players for huge playoff games. You saw that with LAFC and not of necessarily the league's fault, right? Some of these guys went on international break and then come back.
Yeah.
We said, nope, don't bring back any gifts. And they brought,
and they we're good.
Okay. No carry-ons. But the fact that when Darnton Nagbe and Pedro Santos, when it was announced, because look, we said, we're like, all right, this is done. Why even play the game? Because Seattle, they have this. But when
how'd
you
that work
that,
out for you guys?
We had to apologize to Derek Etienne Jr.
I saw that. I respected that. He didn't give you any space, too.
No, he also called us out. Like, we didn't even pretend, you know?
But when you hear that, like, what was your mentality when you heard that? Do you think that it would have taken away from how special the MLS Cup even was? But Columbus Crew still made it incredibly memorable.
So I will say when they announced it, came out, I was pretty upset because it felt like we were getting the two best rosters against each other in MLS. That was the big sell to me. Was in finals, sometimes you have teams on momentum, and that's great. There's a million different things to a final, but it really felt like the two best groups, the two most talented teams were going to play against each other, and it was going to be strength against strength rather than how do we isolate a weakness and find a weakness on this team. And I thought Nagbe was the one piece they couldn't lose because of how they want to play. He's the only one that can do the things he does well. Zeller Ayan, as amazing as he is, if you lost him but still had Santos and Nagbe, it felt like coming into this game, you could still kind of do the things you wanted to do. Mensah probably as well, pretty irreplaceable for them. But then Columbus came out and played the way they did, and it was awesome. I haven't been this jacked up about a soccer game probably all year. Like, they came out, they punched Seattle in the face. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. And Caleb Porter, to have his ideas, and he takes too much of a knock for being, you know, hard to adjust. Because in Portland, he won an MLS Cup, not playing the soccer he wanted to play. But he did it for 4 months. He didn't do it for 1 week and then come back and then do it again for 1 week. So it didn't feel like he would change for this one game. And it was hard to say because Seattle, what they do poorly is break teams down who sit deep, which is not what Columbus wants to do, but seemed like the right answer after they lost these two guys. And he didn't do that at all. He came out, he was direct, he played a different style, but it was aggressive, it was attacking. And even before the goal, it was like, wow, this is something I didn't see coming, and this is not what I expected. Seattle never reacted. They could never get their feet under them. And it could have been even more than the 3-0, which is already a historic win. So it ended up redeeming itself in the end. I think the playoffs were awesome overall. They were fun. They were wild. They were, you know, kind of 2020 to them, I guess, if, especially if you talk about NYCFC in Orlando. That was very 2020.
Very.
The administrators on top don't know what's going on.
It went viral, you know,
like literally and figuratively. Yeah,
yeah, but that's a good point. But I saw that NYCFC versus Orlando penalties, like, you know, reactions from English, you know, YouTubers, and it's like millions of views across the board. At the end of the day, mayhem sells, you know, and MLS playoffs, especially now that they've gone down, and I hope it remains forever. The single game elimination, it is pure pandemonium, baby. Yeah.
And I think it will, because it had moved to that last year. And I think people realize, yeah, maybe you don't get the champion you expect, but the performances and the games are so much better. So I thought the playoffs redeemed a little bit of a regular season, which I think I said a little last segment, like there was good soccer, there was talent, but it was just so unaligned. You had teams that were coming off 3.5 week layoffs playing against teams that were hot. Then you had teams starting their best lineup against barely USL rosters sometimes, and then other games where you had strength for strength. I thought we got really good games in the Eastern Conference between Columbus, Philly, and Toronto. That was really the highlight of the season. There was about 3-4 weeks in a row where they had a big game each weekend coming down to the Supporter Shield and Decision Day. That was the highlight of the whole thing, but it was fairly chaotic across the board, which is one thing I would like to say for every fan is don't feel panicked about what you saw going into next year. I think, one, a lot of players who were new to the league are going to have totally different performances. Thinking of like Edison Flores in DC, who barely got performances. I think he's a high level DP. Adam Buxa in New England. All these guys, I think, are going to be better next year. And I think for teams with new coaches or wanting to change things, you didn't get to see what they wanted this year. And I think you're going to over the course of 2021. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many kind of examples of the you know, people not really having time to adjust. I mean, it's obviously, you know, you hear stories of people who moved to New York on March 12th, and it's like, what? This is not what it's like, you know what I mean?
But it's still the greatest city in the world. Oh, well, that's not what it's like.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't look so great from your tiny apartment, but we pay the rent to go outside. Let me ask you about the way the regular season played out, because I don't think anybody was expecting New England as an example to be as good as they are. Looking at Montreal, I'm like, what are they? I know they made it into the playoffs, and they're not gonna they'll do everything to not lose Thierry Henry, which I guess. So at the end of the day, you gotta say, like, yeah, that was a success, but have we figured out how he wants to play? Does he have a system? Is what Bruce Arena doing is just bringing back old school soccer and being like, all right, sit back, we'll hit him on the counter. We got enough people that can put the ball in the net. Like, what exactly is happening with specifically those two clubs, but like, what do you think we were seeing in the league now?
So you have to make a decision if you're a team in MLS, and you have to go 100% into that angle. Are you going to be a team that wants to get all young players and play high energy, and you're going to rely on your coach's tactics? Fine. Go in that angle completely. Because if you go 50-50, that's why you see teams lose and you don't know who teams are. If you're going to be a team that's just going to stack the best talent, that's also okay. I think it's kind of worked for Seattle to an extent, and I'm not taking away from Brian Schmetzer, but they have the best roster in MLS and they've had some of the best DPs over the course of the last 6-7 years. Then you can go in that angle. It's the teams that want to sit in between that I think struggle at times. For Thierry Henry specifically, I think what you saw in CCL, and this is going back 47 years at this point, but CCL to start 2020 into the beginning of the season, his idea was, I'm going to build defensively and then I'm going to create my attack. And that part never came because he couldn't build defensively because he couldn't practice for like 6 months. So that's an example of a team that I think we're going to see the ideas over the course of the next year. And I'm really excited because they've already traded for 3 young players inside of MLS, which is something I want to see more of. And I think that's a smart way to go because they're deciding to pick a market inefficiency and say, we're going to go in 100% on this, which makes sense. Because if you do one trade and then you want to go get someone from Argentina and you want to spend, but you don't really want to spend, so you want to make him young. But then if he's young, is he productive? And then I think that's where a lot of the teams get lost and you see teams kind of float around in the middle of a postseason spot or chasing for a postseason spot even though it hasn't worked out perfectly for San Jose, it's the right idea, right? Matias Almeida is out of his mind and he's got this idea and they paid him a lot of money and they're going to do the thing he's going to do as hard as they can. And that's going to get them performances that I don't think San Jose is going to get otherwise. You could say, yeah, bring in a Nico Lodero and a Carlos Vela and they'll win MLS Cup, but they weren't ever going to do that. So why like stress about that or worry for that? So I think that's kind of where you're at in MLS right now is talent still wins out. And that's what Bruce Arena's seen. And that's what Seattle's done. And Toronto to an extent has done. So Bruce says, I can still win because I can still go get the best players. And it's proven. I think this year was a really good year for that because teams weren't really cohesive. And so what you saw in the end of the final four teams in the postseason was the best number 10s on the field. And for the most part, one of the best strikers on the field. I think it's going to be less of that in 2021, but it's still the same idea of knowing your identity and spending in that angle, because not everyone's going to spend the same way. And the big story we heard all year was Philly spends on their academy. They spend a lot of money. They just don't spend it on guys like a Nico Lodero or a Zeller Ayan.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first. Giassi Zardes, best striker in the league on the field for MLS Cup.
Boom.
As we look at how the season has progressed, we're in the off season. A lot of major moves are happening. Free agency is a thing now, okay? And we're seeing some pretty wild numbers, you know. What should fans expect? Because already so far, and we're recording this a bit earlier, but already so far we've seen some pretty big moves happen, but they seem relatively smart. Are we expecting like that hot stove, silly season stuff to start happening? Like 8 million TAM for, you know, some 23-year-old kid from the academy?
I'm going to need a bigger briefcase for all this TAM.
How big is the TAM bill? Because I don't know if we got room for that.
You have to create a whole new mint to just start printing up TAM bills and bucks to get those out. It seems
whose faces would be on those bills? Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
I heard voted for Landon Donovan, so I'm just going to guess that.
You know Garber putting his own face on that bill. Stop playing.
He gets that and the private jet. That's why you did the job, you know? That's what we're all here for. But it does seem so. Free agency obviously is a little new to MLS. The way they built it is you have to have a bunch of experience. So now we're finally seeing players hit that, right? Because you invented something. The league wasn't very old. You didn't have anyone that fit in free agency. Now you're finally starting to see players go into that. The really interesting one to me this offseason is Diego Fagundes, because he's the first generation of a homegrown on a club, played well for them, isn't Jordan Morris. What happens to them in MLS the rest of their career? Because homegrowns are new, in essence, and the amount of them is new. And so it's fascinating to see what are teams willing to give up for another team's homegrown? What are teams willing to give on the free agent market for another team's homegrown and all those things? And I think there's a big market there. Part of what you saw Montreal do, Colorado did it last year with Jonathan Lewis and Austin Trusty and Kellen Acosta. I think it's worked pretty well for them. So that's pretty fascinating from the free agent point of view. From the trade point of view, yeah, there's AM everywhere. Allocation money left and right. You can get it. You can give it whatever you want to do. I spoke to one GM who said, it feels like people are finding it. I don't know where they got it, and I don't know where it exists, but they just keep finding it, and they'll figure it out later on.
Is there a way to be sure they have it? Because I could just say I got AM. Like, how do you know? I'll trade you 3 million AM. He's like, you got it? Baby, don't worry about it. It's coming next week.
How much gold do you think's in the Federal Reserve? You don't know. Keep your third eye open. Like, yeah. No one knows.
Money's like, what is money? Yeah, exactly. Really, you know?
MLS going to be cryptocurrency.
Get the fluoride out of the water, bro.
MLS runs on Bitcoin starting in 2021. But it's been interesting.
We do need to start MLS coin. I'm not even playing. It's a genius move.
Yeah, there you go. We'll talk about it off air when we get there. Yeah,
commercial break, bro.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I think there's been a lot of smart moves. The big one that popped out was Jordi Mihailović for $100 million. $100 million. Now we're talking
who
Neymar
cares?
Numbers.
It doesn't matter.
Let's be honest. It's true. No one actually has. Just it's a row in a spreadsheet.
And the guys who run those spreadsheets, by the way, those people are insane, but they're geniuses. But so those types of moves, I think part of it is COVID, which is you don't know for an international player when are they going to get here, how long is it going to take them to get up to speed, how long are they going to have to quarantine for, are they going to go play international and then come back again. As Christian Arias mentioned, sometimes you bring those little presents with you back, and then that becomes a whole thing. So I think it's safe right now to go in league. And allocation money, you have to spend it. It doesn't really roll over. So if you're going to have it and you're not going to sign an international guy, you might as well trade it in league for something you can have, whether that's an international roster spot, a draft pick, or a player. So I think you're seeing those start to move around. And you're also seeing the value of MLS experience. Nashville proved that to a T this year, but other teams have proved it over the last few years. And so I think you're seeing value come back into, well, we want a guy who's done it in this league before. We want a player that we can guarantee something from, rather than we think this player from overseas will be great, but they could be really bad. And so there's that bigger margin there. So you're seeing teams take the safer route, quote unquote. And I think it's the right move, because I still think MLS, while you still have expansion, right, so many more teams, there's more good players than starting spots in this league. So if you can find those guys on those rosters, it makes it worthwhile for you to give a little bit to get them into your team, and they don't take an international roster spot and all these other things that go along with it, where I think the value in the move isn't the same as the number we see in the press release.
Yeah.
I also want to know what your thoughts on, if you, do you think what this might be coming back in 2021? Do you think the mid
bottoms?
I hope so. I'm going to do my best to try to bring it back.
You're starting a trend, baby. That's
they only shoot doing. The show no. from the waist up. No one knows.
Bro, we both got bell bottoms on right now.
the in-game head coach interview during the broadcast. Do you think this is something that should return, because there is something to for, you know, awkward and uncomfortable television that I appreciate, that part of me would like this to return, but people,
it's like a little moment of Cooligans in every
there's people on Twitter that are just adamant. They're like, we need to get, you know, we need to get rid of this. This is too much cringe. You know, so we've seen moments where there's an interview and they give up a goal. Yeah. What do you think? This feels like, you know, it's a very American thing, and I know it's not up to maybe MLS specifically. It's not maybe more the broadcast that really wants to do this. But what are your thoughts on it?
So first of all, you say American. I think it sounds like a German game show. Like, what can we make as cringy as humanly possible? Yeah. Maybe Japan would do it too. Who knows? Yeah. But one of those. It's been. I think Robin Fraser was the one in MLS's back who got scored on first. In the middle, yeah. And he was pretty good about it. Other coaches have just ripped the headset off and tossed it. And then other coaches like Adrian Heath will do an interview anytime. So he's like,
yeah.
Just leave us open. We'll just talk for the 90 minutes for the rest of the game. I think it was kind of trying to find that medium of, we can't really have sideline people there and interact with. We're trying to get fans that access that they're used to. So I'd be surprised if it stuck around at a national level, although teams have done it in MLS over the last few years for local broadcasts. SKC does it. I think the Revs have done it, maybe not with Bruce, because you can barely get Bruce to talk when he's supposed to. He's not going to talk when he doesn't have to. At the same time, it is brutal. As someone who broadcasts games and who likes soccer and all that stuff, it really gives me heart palpitations, because you're like riding the line the whole time, where you're like watching and you're like, please don't be a chance. Please don't be a chance. Please. Okay, yeah, here, question. No, just talk quicker. Just talk quicker. Let's get him out of here.
Yeah. And the questions can't even be that intense, because the coach is just like, you know, they're looking up to, like, is this guy playing in the position we need? I think at this point now in MLS, we have enough evidence to suggest that trying to win the Supporter Shield is going to ruin your chance of winning MLS Cup.
Probably.
Is this real? Is this a real thing? Because if you look at it, yo, Philly put all that, like, you got to win a trophy, right? You got to do something to win a trophy or a silverware, a piece of silverware. They put all their chips in for Supporter Shield. They won it. Did that hurt their chances in the playoffs?
I don't know that we can answer this question this year, because it's insanity and chaos. I will say Philly's a team that wasn't built for the playoffs, right? Playoff teams are teams where you have the Lodero, Zelrayan, Javinko, Vela, Joseph, who gives you that extra 2% that the other team doesn't have. Yeah. Philly wasn't really built for that. So I think they were a team that was built for winning Supporters Shield and competing in the playoffs and hoping the bounces go their way. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, so they've proven they could win MLS playoff games. I think it's also what makes what Toronto did so impressive. As I've kind of been trying to like think about that with Seattle now run and dynasties and all this, because I think of them as a dynasty. They only actually won one title, but they for 18 months were the best team every single week in MLS. And I think that's going to be the new definition of great teams, is you got to be able to win both. And Seattle hasn't been able to do that, but it does feel like how much energy you put in makes it hard for the playoffs, which I think is where MLS, with the one game knockouts, it makes home seed even more valuable. You're trying to find that line where, how can you make it worthwhile to compete with everything the whole regular season, because it gives you this much of an advantage in the playoffs without making it impossible for a lower seed to win in the playoffs. And I think they're still trying to ride that line and figuring it out. But I think the one game eliminations makes it closer. So it makes it more worth it to continue to push in the regular season.
Yeah, there is that real like bittersweet feeling, like, you know, seeing Philadelphia Union fans with the Supporters Shield and have that those couple days of celebrate the Captain America story, the whole thing. We rewrote the whole thing, and then to lose immediately against a team that they really should have beaten in New England. But New England, they did their thing. But it was just like this high and then this incredible drop.
Very immediate low.
It's like, I don't know if you remember this. Wigan won the FA Cup and then got relegated like 2 weeks later one time. Yeah. And then they had the parade after that. And it was like, you might as well have a parade when you can.
And weren't they in the Europa while also in the championship?
Yeah, probably. It was just great.
Fascinating.
Tampa, best league in the world.
Thank you again, everybody, for joining us for another fun and exciting episode of the Cooligans. I mean, look,
real dad stuff, right?
2021,
we have fun, everyone.
Look, I'm glad that we fixed 2021. It is already repaired because it already started off terribly. It's only been one day, but it's been bad. No, but David, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
You can follow me on Twitter at Empire Gas, G-A-S-S, pronounced Goss, but should have made that easier. Now I'm realizing and saying it was stupid. You can follow Extra Time on MLS and MLSsoccer.com and all those places, my podcast, and a football pod, which I'm hosting with a guy up in Toronto named Devang Desai. We talk all soccer, MLS heavy, but European heavy as well, South America, whatever, part of the Stringer Podcast Network based out of Toronto, because I'm working on that passport, you know? You always got to have three steps ahead.
There's one way to get free healthcare, baby.
It's cheaper than my plan so far.
Amazing, man. Thank you so much again for joining us. And everybody, make sure to follow us as well at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Follow at Fubo Sports as well. And make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, David Goss, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for David Goss, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!